Chapter 5. Women as Teachers. Much of Ellen White's counsel regarding teachers is general. She speaks of both men and women being well qualified to teach our young people. We cite the following statements as applying equally to both genders. Suitable teachers needed. I dwell much upon this because suitable teachers are much needed, and men and women must be fitted up in the home and in the school to do a work of ministry of which they will not be ashamed. In too many families today, there is too much self-indulgence and disobedience passed by without being corrected, or else there is manifested an overbearing, masterful spirit that creates the worst evils in the dispositions of children. Parents correct them at times in such an inconsiderate way that their lives are made miserable, and they lose all respect for father, mother, brothers, and sisters. The souls of the children, God's property, the lambs of the flock, are thus prepared for Satan to work his will upon them. Teachers to study the Word of God. To train the young to become true soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most noble work ever given to man. Only devout and consecrated men and women, who love children and can see in them souls to be saved for the Master, should be chosen as church school teachers. Teachers who study the Word of God as it should be studied will know something of the value of the souls under their care, and from them the children will receive a true Christian education. Need an experience in obeying the Lord. All who teach in our schools should have a close connection with God and a thorough understanding of His Word, that they may be able to bring divine wisdom and knowledge into the work of educating the youth for usefulness in this life and for the future, immortal life. They should be men and women who not only have a knowledge of the truth, but who are doers of the Word of God. It is written should be expressed in their words and by their lives. By their own practice, they should teach simplicity and correct habits in everything. No man or woman should be connected with our schools as an educator who has not had an experience in obeying the Word of the Lord. Young women to learn to teach others. We need unselfish, devoted people to act as educators. Young men and young women are to be brought to our schools to receive an education, that they may learn how to teach others to understand the Word of the Lord. We need ministerial laborers in every school to educate the children and youth in Bible lines, and the pastor has work to do for the teachers as well as the students. Our schools must be more like the schools of the prophets. We call upon teachers and all connected with the school to make self-sacrificing efforts. We call upon our sisters to work intelligently, devotedly, interestedly, to make the school a success. Let our churches help. God will bless all who cooperate with Him. Women to be qualified to occupy any position. The Lord designs that the school, Avondale, should also be a place where a training may be gained in women's work, cooking, housework, dressmaking, bookkeeping, correct reading, and pronunciation. They are to be qualified to take any post that may be offered: superintendents, Sabbath school teachers, Bible workers. They must be prepared to teach day schools for children. Personal qualifications of the teacher. The principles and habits of the teacher should be considered of greater importance than even his literary qualifications. If the teacher is a sincere Christian, he will feel the necessity of having an equal interest in the physical, mental, moral, and spiritual education of his scholars. In order to exert the right influence, he should have perfect control over himself, and his own heart should be richly imbued with love for his pupils, which will be seen in his looks, words, and acts. He should have firmness of character. Then he can mold the minds of his pupils, as well as to instruct them in the sciences. The early education of the youth generally shapes their character for life. Those who deal with the young should be very careful to call out the qualities of the mind, that they may better know how to direct their powers, and that they may be exercised to the very best account. What the teacher should be. In the choice of a teacher for the children, great care should be shown. Church school teachers should be men and women who have a humble estimate of themselves, who are not filled with vain conceit. They should be faithful workers, filled with the true missionary spirit, workers who have learned to put their trust in God and to labor in His name. they should possess the attributes of Christ's character, patience, kindness, mercy, and love, and into the daily experience they should bring the Savior's righteousness and peace. Then, working with fragrant influence, they will give evidence of what grace can do through human agents who make God their trust.
All who teach to have a close connection with God. Teachers have a most responsible position. Teachers are to do more for their students than to impart a knowledge of books. Their position as guide and instructor of the youth is most responsible, for to them is given the work of molding mind and character. Those who undertake this work should possess well-balanced, symmetrical characters. They should be refined in manner, neat in dress, careful in all their habits, and they should have that true Christian courtesy that wins confidence and respect. The teacher should be himself what he wishes his students to become. Teachers are to watch over their students as the shepherd watches over the flock entrusted to his charge. They should care for souls as they that must give an account. Strive to reach highest possible standard. To know oneself is a great knowledge. The teacher who rightly estimates himself will let God mold and discipline his mind, and he will acknowledge the source of his power. Self-knowledge leads to humility and to trust in God, but it does not take the place of efforts for self-improvement. He who realizes his own deficiencies will spare no pains to reach the highest possible standard of physical, mental, and moral excellence. No one should have a part in the training of youth who is satisfied with a lower standard. Schools to reflect the order of heaven. Teachers to talk and pray with students. Our teachers need to be converted men and women who know what it means to wrestle with God, who will not be at rest until the hearts of the children are turned to love, praise, and glorify God. Who will be earnest workers for souls in our Sabbath schools? Who will take the youth separately and talk and pray with them and make personal appeals to them, beseeching them to yield their heart to Jesus, that they may be as a sweet savor to Christ? As we view the magnitude of the work and see how little it is appreciated, we feel like groaning in spirit and exclaiming, "Who will accept these grave responsibilities and watch for souls as they that must give an account?" We are Christ's representatives upon the earth. How do we fulfill our mission? Christ's representatives will be in daily communion with Him. Their words will be select, their speech seasoned with grace, their hearts filled with love, their efforts sincere, earnest, persevering, to save souls for whom Christ has died. Let all do their utmost to work for the salvation of the dear children and youth, and by they will listen with joy to the words of Jesus. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What is this joy? It is beholding the redeemed saints saved through their instrumentality, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nicest work ever given to humans. Great care to be taken to call forth highest mental powers. It is the nicest work. Ellen White here uses nicest work in the context of being the most important, the finest, most noble work that God calls people to do for Him. Ever assumed by men and women to deal with youthful minds. The greatest care should be taken in the education of youth to vary the manner of instruction so as to call forth the high and noble powers of the mind. Parents and teachers of schools are certainly disqualified to educate children properly if they have not first learned the lessons of self-control, patience, forbearance, gentleness, and love. What an important position for parents, guardians, and teachers! There are very few who realize the most essential wants of the mind and how to direct the developing intellect, the growing thoughts and feelings of youth. Teaching most important work. This work, teaching, is the nicest, the most difficult, ever committed to human beings. It requires the most delicate tact, the finest susceptibility, a knowledge of human nature, and a heaven-born faith and patience, willing to work and watch and wait. It is a work than which nothing can be more important. Teachers are truly missionaries. Divine touch needed. The teachers and students in our school need the divine touch. If a missionary spirit was encouraged, even though it took some hours from the program of study, if there was more faith and spiritual zeal, more of the realization that God can do more for teachers and students than He has done, because in the past His way has been restricted, much of heaven's blessing would be given. There are holy chords yet to be touched. Teachers as well as students need to show greater teachableness. Just in proportion as the true missionary spirit is brought into the education and training of young men and young women, will they be blessed. The students should begin to work in missionary lines where there are those with whom they can communicate to learn how to work. As they do this, they advance and their intellect grows. They are learning how to work when the school term is ended. As they approach those who are interested, they work under the greatest teacher the world has ever known. It is as essential that they should know how to communicate as that they should receive a knowledge of the truth. The practice of telling others about Christ, of reading and explaining His Word, will stamp that Word on the mind and will make the truth their own. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself. This is God's command. Jesus has given an additional requirement. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. We are not merely to love our neighbor as ourselves, we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, He declared. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. The students, and also the teachers in our school, need to take time to become acquainted with the members of the community in which they live. The love that Christ manifested toward us, we must cultivate for others. The truth will not long remain in the heart unless it works by love to save the souls ready to perish. The Lord God of Israel would have us beware of human precision, of making a line on which everyone must tread. A different element must be brought into our schools. Wrong maxims and methods of teaching, which have been looked upon as wholly essential, have been followed. Those connected with our schools must penetrate deeper than their own habits or opinions, which have been idolized as complete authority. The greatest need of our teachers is to live hourly in conscious, loving communion with the principles of truth, righteousness, and mercy, for that is the atmosphere of heaven. There must not be so many studies and duties placed on the students that they will neglect to talk with the Lord Jesus, the great teacher, and let into their hearts the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit that dwelt in Him. It is essential to teach the students how to do missionary work, not only by pen and voice, but by practice in its various lines. There is around us a community that needs to be taught how to cook, how to treat the sick. By doing this line of work, we practice the truth as it is in Jesus. Teachers and students need to learn how to do this work. The teachers must draw from the deep, central source of all moral and intellectual power, asking the Lord to give them the mind that was in Christ Jesus, that every case that calls for sympathy and help, in physical as well as in spiritual lines, may receive their attention. The great teacher cooperates with all the efforts made to relieve suffering humanity. Teach the students to make a practical application of the lessons they have received. As they witness human woe and the deep poverty of those they are trying to help, they will be stirred with compassion. Their hearts will be softened and subdued by the deep, holy principles revealed in the Word of God. The great physician cooperates with every effort made in behalf of suffering humanity to give health to the body and light and restoration to the soul. We must give the Lord a chance to do His work, His great work for the soul. Christ is our sufficiency. Each one of us must understand what it means to have the Word of God fulfilled in us. As Christ was in this world, so we are to be. If in this life we are like Him in character, we shall in heaven have His likeness. If there is no likeness between Christ and us in this world, there can be no friendship between Christ and us when He shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. As religious teachers, we are under obligation to God to teach the students how to engage in medical missionary work. Those who do this work have many opportunities to sow the seeds of truth in a way that will be successful. the heart full of gratitude to God can pray, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies, or rather, because of mine observers." Sarah Peck, Called to Teach. Sarah Peck was one of Ellen White's most able helpers. She taught the Sanitarium California School before becoming one of Mrs. White's secretaries, having the reputation of being an excellent teacher. After serving on the Elmshaven staff for some time, she was invited to teach again. It was with regret that Mrs. White consented to her leaving, but she felt that Sarah Peck should be free to do whatever the Lord called her to do. Dear Sister Peck, during our conversation this morning, I felt greatly perplexed to know what to say in reference to your work. I love you, and I want to see you in a position where you can best serve the Master. I do not know what would be your own choice of work. Many of our people desire and urge you to enter the educational work. If you feel that this is your duty, I am willing to release you from my employ. I know of no one who is better fitted than yourself to undertake educational work. In regard to your connection with me, I cannot say very much, because you have in the past been called to so many other lines of work. One thing I must say, if you choose to remain with me, the schoolwork must be laid aside. If you prefer to labor in educational lines, then you must be free so that you can give your undivided attention to that work. I leave the matter entirely with you, that you may follow your own choice. I dare not decide for you. The great necessity for your efficiency as a teacher is the only consideration that leads me to be willing to release you. So many have spoken to me of your efficiency and talent as an educator that I dare not hold you. If at any time in the future you shall choose to connect with me again, you will not have become less efficient. I write this that you may not be left in uncertainty. Seek the Lord for yourself. If you feel impressed that you prefer to remain with me, I have abundance of work that you can do. If it seems to be the will of God for you to remain with me, we must take hold of the work in earnest and not allow others to come in and give you a double burden to bear. Now, my sister, I feel anxious that if you take up the schoolwork, you shall not load yourself down with too many responsibilities. Make that your work, and carry it as you did the school in St. Helena. If I should act a part in the work at Redlands and Loma Linda, we may be more or less connected in preparing students for time and for eternity. May the Lord bless you and give you much of His Holy Spirit wherever you may labor. If it be your lot to educate students, that they may impart to others the heavenly intelligence, I shall be pleased. I have always loved and respected you, and I have not been disappointed in you. The form of sound words is to be prized above every earthly thing. God is glorified by every word that leads to right action. I respect you highly and desire you to have every advantage possible, that you may make continual progression in the service of God.